Welcome to the Newland Rock Leadership Effectiveness Podcast, hosted by me, Kate Thomas. This podcast is packed with practical tips and expert views to unlock the leadership effectiveness in you and your organization. My name is Kate Thomas, and I'm a leadership effectiveness expert and the founder of Newland Rock, a consultancy dedicated to focusing on increasing leadership effectiveness for talent-savvy companies and individuals. In this podcast, I will share my experience of supercharging leadership performance and business results with you. Join me and the best thought leaders for topical discussions and talent-centric insights. Joining me for this episode of the Success Saboteur series is Damien Culhane, an international best-selling author, coach, and an intentional expert in self-sabotage. We explore the saboteurs that limit our success, those micro-moment voices in our head that generate fear, uncertainty, doubt. We talk about how we can develop mental fitness strategies to manage our effectiveness and boost our leadership agility. Damien, it's an absolute pleasure to have you join this episode. Thank you very much for finding the time.
Thank you, Kate. I'm really pleased to be here and thank you for the invitation.
There was something specific that I really wanted to talk to you about today, because we've come together through having an interest in a particular topic. But I know before that topic came into our world, you've had a very fruitful and enjoyable coaching business. And I was curious just to get a little bit more about what it is that you actually specialize in and what it is that you do.
Thanks, Kate. So I guess the summary of what I do is I go under the grand title of Chief Dragon Tamer, because I help people to understand some of their negative behavior and dysfunctional behavior that causes them to sabotage their relationships, their career, their finances, their health. And when people understand that about themselves, it's a real enlightening moment, because you're unconscious to how your ego creates identities and puts out these personas in the world. They can create situations where you sabotage your results and sabotage your life. And I'd experienced that for myself over many years, with certainly with my health, with my career, and also with my relationships. So from personal experience, I'd been on the receiving end of my own self-sabotage, and I became an accidental expert in it, trying to get to the bottom of that and solve that. So on that journey of more or less 20 years, it's taken me down many different paths to explore that in deep dives. And one of the areas that's been most effective is understanding my pattern of sabotage. When you and I came together to work on mental fitness around the saboteurs, it really helped me to label the saboteurs in a different way. So it's definitely informed the work I do and enhanced the work I do.
Fantastic. You know, just even hearing you talk and even taking that term saboteurs, you know, I don't know, would everybody understand what that actually is? You know, how do we understand what our saboteurs are? How do they affect us? It's not necessarily an everyday term. And maybe that also links us to mental fitness and what it's all about.
Yeah, so I guess the best way to describe the saboteurs are the voices in your head. And these are the voices that generate your fear or your uncertainty and doubt. Often they're very negative emotions around sadness, fear, and anger. And whenever you're experiencing that, generally speaking, your saboteurs will have been triggered by something. The number one saboteur, just as a great example, this is like the top line, the number one that everybody has is called the judge. And it's how you judge yourself others and the circumstances. So we're constantly going through this kind of inner voice of, you know, you could have done that better, or, you know, why is she doing that to me, or judging that other person or the situation and saying, well, you know, what choice do I have in my situation? So the judge is the number one saboteur that will create situations that trigger the other saboteurs. There's a total of 10. And the other saboteurs then get triggered by the judge that is the number one, that kind of creates this inner voice dialogue with you. And they sabotage your potential for both happiness and performance. I think that's the key thing in context of this conversation is, you know, performance and happiness can be really impacted by those inner voices and the saboteurs when they come together.
And I think when I'm hearing you talk and you sort of describing, you know, the judge, for example, what I also know from the work that we've done and just our observations of how we respond in different situations is that when we're faced with stresses, if you think about what we've all been experiencing over the last 18 months, and then we think about leadership and the stresses that are continuous, what I think we can also say is that that's when our saboteurs, that's when this inner dialogue, this mental chit chat goes up a level. You know, it's like as if we're fueling them even more when we're in these more challenging situations.
Definitely. And, you know, when you get deeper into that and the psychology behind why we get triggered to that extent, it's, you know, if you take something like the global pandemic, it triggers a fear response, which is a reptilian, you know, kind of core response of survival. So we forget all of the niceties in life and we just focus on physiological survival. You know, am I going to be safe? Can I get fresh food and water? Are my loved ones going to be safe? And so you really get triggered into some very fundamental, basic kind of physiological responses. And so your access to your new thoughts and to your brain, that is the powerful area where you get creative and tap into your intuition, almost gets shut down because you're just focused in on literally survival and that fear that gets triggered. Now, that could last a matter of a few minutes, or it could last hours, days, weeks, and possibly even months. And in some cases, it could be lifelong fear that you are governed by and controlled by.
When we think about the responsibility that, you know, taking this then into an organizational context and looking at it through the lens of leadership effectiveness, we need leaders to be quite broad in their thinking, certainly at the moment, because our working environments are changing. We're wanting to bring our organizations out of the pandemic thriving. Ultimately, it means that we need to do things differently. And so therefore, if we're in this saboteur state, which you talked about, it dampening the arousal of being able to be creative and think outside the box, we're ultimately left with limited movement, I suppose, limited innovation, limited creativeness, limited agility in terms of our actual capability, through no fault of our own in some ways. It's just actually what's happening to our brain.
Yeah, quite. And so where we get that kind of additional tension and that additional resistance that comes in, it's how quickly we respond to that and how we deal with that is effectively how we use our mental fitness. So it's how quickly we can adapt and how quickly we can deal with those inner voices, to the extent where they're not controlling our thoughts or controlling our actions and behavior. And, you know, most teams experience too much conflict or friction and stress. You know, there's all sorts of things going on inside teams, and they can often be vastly underachieving their potential. So every team member is unknowingly probably sabotaging their personal life and their business life. And so if the team is kind of to maximize its performance and the well-being, we really need to focus on the potential and the root level of the mental fitness to ensure that everyone is on the same page. And that brings us to, you know, really bringing people onto purpose, making sure that there's healthy conflict or healthy dialogue, there's mutual accountability. Now, most teams will want that within their team, but will struggle to actually achieve it if there's all that, inner voice is kicking off for every different member of the team. So as the leader, you've got to be really focused in on your own mental fitness to have clarity, to just, you know, not be distracted by all the noise, by all the tension, fear and anxiety of people around you, and focus in with laser sharp focus like a Jedi Knight effectively. You know, when you're in the heat of a battle, it's being able to remain calm and to be able to be focused on what your next move is without the distractions of, you know, professional advisors, the team, the boss, the peer group, the stuff going on in your personal life, to really focus in on what needs to be done and the actions you need to take. You need to have a lot of clarity, and mental fitness enables you to get that clarity by quietening down and taming the saboteurs to acknowledge that they're there, because they do actually have some very positive things that we need to acknowledge. So they do help us. But at the same time, we need to be looking at whether they're trying to be dysfunctional and going too far to sabotage our thinking and distract us. And maybe, you know, if there's fear, uncertainty and doubt, maybe you delay a decision, or you make a decision based from your fear or based from anger or whatever it might be. If you're making choices like that and decisions and choices around your saboteurs, you're unlikely to be making effective decisions that are going to be for the long-term benefit of either yourself or the team or the organization that you're working in.
That's pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? This is a way to really enhance your effectiveness.
I think the key thing is that when people understand mental fitness to the extent where they realize what it can give them, it gives so much clarity on what it is that you're actually trying to achieve in your life. But it gets rid of all of the interceptors, if you like, all the things that are going to stop you. It puts them aside. So if you take, for example, if somebody's going to be making a decision for, maybe it's a change that they're making in their team or a change they're making in their organization, a strategy change, something like that. You know, when you're making any sort of change, it's a big decision, and you're going to have, it's going to likely impact many, many people. If you can get rid of immediately all of your thoughts and emotions around that, and you can put those to one side and say, what is the best thing for this outcome? What is the end result that we're trying to achieve? And really focus in on what those end results are, you can have a lot more clarity without the saboteurs interfering. So you become much more laser focused on the right choice rather than on the choice that you think is the one that your saboteurs might be governing you towards. So for example, if somebody is, let's say one of the saboteurs is called hypervigilant, and if you're hypervigilant, it means that you'd be very cautious and you would want to follow rules very strictly, and you want to be really cautious about things. So this is not necessarily a great attribute for a leader, because you need to be bold and make decisions and be brave and be courageous, etc. So hypervigilant could cause you to delay a decision, go and find more research. It could be that you know, with hypervigilant, you want to follow a particular structure that's too rigid. So there has to be a real balance in how do I take the safety net that the hypervigilant is going to provide for me to ensure that I don't take unnecessary risk and take responsible decisions that make maybe balance the risk with the reward. And so if you're hypervigilant and you're just focused on that, you're likely to not make that bold and courageous decision. Whereas if you make the bold and courageous decision without considering the risks, then that can be almost like too dangerous. It can be almost the other end of the spectrum, where it becomes disruptive for the business or becomes, you know, unnecessary panic for other people in the business, who then have to mop up the changes that you're trying to make if it's too much or too fast. So being in the position where you can be focused in on what is right for the business, what is right for me as a person, what is right for the team, how am I going to get rid of any of the saboteurs that might be stopping me or giving me that inner voice of doubt or fear or uncertainty, whatever it might be, and how do I then focus in on what is the right thing to do?
And just hearing you explain that, Damien, I feel balanced. We recognize that some of the characteristics of our saboteurs we need. So, you know, the example you use, if the hypervigilant isn't thinking about the risk and just is going all for it and putting therefore themselves and the business in danger, that's a problem. But yeah, being too vigilant, and too risk averse, we're not moving forward.
Exactly.
And that delays decision making. And that isn't great for any organization when they need, when they want to grow. So there's a balance to this, and you know, from the work that we do together on this, we're wanting leaders to have greater self-command, greater awareness, exactly that self-awareness, and then being able to intercept it and know what's going on. So you're actually gaining more control of your actions.
When you get into this advanced level with mental fitness, you start to tap into what we call sage muscles, which is basically a sage perspective that every problem or challenge can be converted into a gift and opportunity. And you get to generate the gift through five powers, which is basically empathy, explore, innovate, navigate, and activate. So when you go into this meditative state where you're reflecting on your day or a problem that you might be experiencing, you can then look at it through the filters of, well, how can I empathize with myself or this other person to resolve this tension that there might be? Or how can I feel love towards this other person so that I don't feel the anger or the fear or whatever might be present? Looking at exploring different ideas. How can you innovate and create something brand new? How can you navigate the situation to find the best solution? And how can you activate some of your own either systems or processes or strategies, or it might just be activating something within yourself. So there's all this kind of, you know, how do I use these different filters and different sage muscles? And meditation is a great way to actually access that, because, and it's actually mental fitness, because we're going into calming down the saboteurs and keeping them quiet and acknowledging them, reflecting on what it is that we need to do to move forward, and then looking at the filters of those sage muscles. How do we then move forward with this situation to resolve this problem effectively? So you resolve problems more quickly. You can be, you know, far more in terms of the performance. You know, you're reducing your stress. It's good for your wellness. It's good for relationships. You can use this in parenting. You know, it's something that is really good for your career. You'll deal with conflict management, you'll be more creative. In terms of leadership, you know, you'll be challenged to kind of look at your assumptions and learn leadership model that is simultaneously brings out the best in your qualities so that you're not affected by the saboteurs any longer.
And when I'm listening to your explanation, there's a couple of things going through my mind. And you know, the first thing that jumps out at me is that we're hearing from our clients time and time again, pre and post pandemic, that we need leaders to come at their leadership with a sense of agility. They desperately need agility, which is not just about forward thinking. It's about how you bring people with you, how you connect with people, building the relationships that you talked about. For me, this mental fitness model and this mental fitness coaching enables and activates more of that agility mindset for leaders. So some of us are agile, some of us aren't as agile as we could be because our saboteur thinking is overtaking. So I'm really inspired by this mental fitness coaching model because agility is such an important part of the needs of the leaders that I work with. And when we talk about the mindfulness aspect, what I see as being a great strength to this technique of tapping into our mental fitness is that it's in the moment. You know, and I, like you, I adore the science behind meditation, but I'm probably one of those people that have yet to master the time out to really dedicate myself to it. But what I can do with mental fitness is in the moment, tune in to what's going on in my thinking and disconnect from my saboteurs or lower them down, you know, through the actual gym sessions that we have access to with this coaching work. So I feel like leaders get to meditate, but in the moment, even in that boardroom setting, when they can feel themselves being aroused, they know their thinking isn't necessarily on their side for them to be present in the moment, and they'll take the word agile, and they don't know how to get out of it. Whereas this system gives some techniques to get out of it, doesn't it? Just by going into some gym sessions in that moment and not needing the very calm, tranquil space to meditate.
Exactly. And, you know, I've learned this great expression around when you should do the maintenance work and when you should do the repairs, etc. And when you're in the eye of the storm, it's not the time to go up on your roof and repair the leak. You know, the time to repair the leak and repair the roof is in the summer when the weather's fine and you're not going to be affected or impacted by the conditions. So the reason I'm using that example is in the eye of the storm, when you're in the heat of the moment and you have to make difficult choices or decisions and be agile, that's not the time to then try and think about the new strategy or the different tactics, etc. You've got to make a decision and you've got to be agile with your thinking. And what we're doing with mental fitness is rewiring the brain to look at and treat the root causes of a problem, which is how the negativity or the saboteurs can impact you and distract you and sabotage your thinking or sabotage your results. So by doing this mindfulness, by doing the mental fitness program, it's a little bit like going to any gym. You're practicing and flexing those muscles and learning to rewire your brain so that in the heat of the moment, you can remain calm without having to be distracted by emotions and thoughts and saboteurs that are going to kick off. And you can just focus in on what's right for that moment. So not only do you become more agile, you become far more efficient and effective with your decision making, because under pressure, you can literally do a couple of things that will calm you and will literally cause you to focus in on that different thinking, that sage thinking, in the matter of seconds. You know, you can literally do it in a matter of 10 seconds and you can access something completely different, a different mindset, and get rid of all the saboteurs that might be distracting you.
And what comes to my mind as you're talking is that, you know, leadership is tough. So this is what we're also saying, is this is a mechanism to alleviate that stress and feel more fulfilled, get a bit of joy back, you know, really enjoy the work that you're doing because you're really good at it. That's why you're in this role. That's why you're leading this team. That's why you have the responsibility for your organization. But the demands can just feel too hard sometimes. And this way of operating the brain brings that joy back, right?
Definitely. And, you know, the majority of people in leadership roles are there because their experience, because of their ability, because of their skills, you know, they're there on merit. And when you look at some of the ways that we think, and particularly in bigger businesses, it's very, very left brain focus, which is, you know, controlling around rational thinking. It's around, you know, processes and structure and logical thinking, following certain process or steps. And so when we've been making our decisions throughout our career to get to a point where we're now leading a business or leading a team, you know what, we've kind of done all that logical analysis, we've done all of that process thinking and all that structural thinking and strategic thinking. But what we've probably lacked is tapping into our intuition and tapping into, you know, what does our heart tell us to do right now? What is the wisdom that we need to find that we don't have access to?
Absolutely. And I think that there have been some significant leaders that have talked about the power of our inner wisdom, our inner warriors, our intuition. By tapping into those, they have achieved such phenomenal careers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we need to remind ourselves that there's a big part of who we are as a whole person, that we don't bring that to our work as much as we could, because of, as you talk about, this way of having the logic, the structure, the achievement take over, especially in that early stages of our career as we're working up through the ladder.
Yeah, and you know, both of us have probably experienced that career where we've been in very high performing environments where you get into a team where it's almost like a kind of toxic masculinity, in particular in if you take sales for an example, which is part of my career, was in sales. There's this toxic masculinity where it's like, you know, you've got to be almost like brash and somebody that you don't necessarily like, you wouldn't necessarily warm to, but you're being, you know, very masculine and very, you know, making decisions and being very bold in what you're doing. And that can be fine. It can take you a certain way and it can certainly improve your career if you're making those choices and being very bold. But there comes a point where you'll reach a plateau, or you'll reach a window, and that will be where you are literally touching that point where you have to change your decision making. You can't carry on with that Neanderthal approach or with that kind of aggression, because it's outdated for one thing. It doesn't work in the boardroom anymore. You know, when we look at how decisions are made, you don't make decisions anymore based on, you know, I don't like that person. They've got, you know, the wrong type of attitude. They've got the wrong type of approach, the wrong type of culture, and we're just going to get rid of them. We're just going to fire everybody. You know, that doesn't work anymore. It's not an approach that is appropriate. And for us to be able to problem solve and to bring out the best in the team, we have to bring out the best in ourselves to then understand how we can bring out the best in the team. And so leaders, I think it's much more important to be focusing on bringing out the best of ourselves and the team than it is to be focused on, you know, just one thing, which is the kind of drive or the toxicity that might have existed in the past that might have driven our performance based on, you know, being in the office early, being in the office late at night. You don't necessarily have to do that if you're performing well and you're able to deliver the results with a high performing team. And so the high performing team is about bringing out the best, and the mental fitness definitely does that.
I'm sure a lot of leaders are going to listen to what you've just talked about and sit there nodding, you know, see themselves in quite a lot of those characteristics and possibly be at that stage in their career where they want more. They want to continue to advance, but they don't necessarily like the look of themselves in that advancement. They don't know what to do about it. You know, they are at that sticking point, that tipping point of, do I continue to really push my career? But if I do, I want to do it well. I want to be effective. I want to maximize my performance, but I want to feel good about it as well. And I think a lot of people are starting to make that connection in terms of balancing out the leadership responsibilities they have for themselves and their team and their lifestyle. And that feel good factor, I think is a lot of what we're talking about when we're able to go through and understand the mental fitness of our brain and how it can be our friend, but equally how it really can be our foe.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that really stands out in all of this is at some point, the CEO or a leader of a business has had to do something that's put them out of their comfort zone, that's probably made them more vulnerable. And the vulnerability is a real threshold here, because when you can embrace that vulnerability and realize that you've got to take a risk and step through that threshold of being more vulnerable, and, you know, once you get the other side of that threshold, there's a whole different world opens up for you, because you're more focused on, you know, how you can create, and more focused on your intuition, and more focused on accessing wisdom. We're talking about accessing the infinite intelligence here, which you can do through the mental fitness and through meditation. You can access the infinite intelligence and problem solve any problem in the world. It already exists in a different paradigm. We just have to tap into that. And sorry to get a little bit woo-woo on this, but it is important, because when you go through that threshold of vulnerability, you literally access a completely different mindset, a completely different wisdom within your brain. You're unlocking different parts of your brain. You're rewiring a different part of your brain. And most people, when they're going through their career, are afraid of that vulnerability, and they'll reject it and turn their back on it and won't go through that threshold. So those that really make a difference and can be very, very powerful in their what they can create and the achievements that they can bring to the world have gone through that threshold of vulnerability. And I think that can be seen as a weakness. And so because we regard that in Western culture as being a weakness, we don't necessarily embrace it. And when we can learn to do that, and we can learn to trust ourselves and know that that vulnerability is okay, and that I'm fine with that, I don't mind being vulnerable because I've got my stuff together, you know, I've got my mental fitness together, the vulnerability just becomes something which is okay and doesn't feel like it's a risk, because the mental fitness helps you to feel good about yourself with your self-awareness. It helps you have good self-command so that you know you've got your stuff together, your thoughts and mindset is sound, and you can tap into that different level of thinking and different level of intuition that comes from a different place of vulnerability.
Thank you, Damien. I think that if anyone's listening and is feeling like as if they know they can achieve more, we can all achieve more and want to achieve more, but achieve it in a sustainable way, in a calm way, in a joyful way, but equally a way that takes you to exploration and opportunity to deliver more. This is certainly a program worth considering and talking to us about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's like all these things. It's a little bit like when you go to the gym and you are just a member of a gym and you go there a couple of times a month, maybe, or even a couple of times a week, and you seem to be doing okay, but maybe your nutrition's not right, and maybe your technique's not right, or maybe your post-workout routine is not great, or your pre-workout routine is not great. So there has to be a whole load of things that happen around considering getting a personal trainer to work on your technique, considering looking at your nutrition to look at a holistic approach to your training in terms of your pre-workout regime, your post-workout regime, your rest and how much you are doing. Well, there's a whole load of things that you can do around, you know, your physical fitness. And this is exactly the same. It's that you could read a book, you could listen to a podcast, you could maybe do some meditation. But until you get really focused in on some of your technique and rewiring the way that you think so that you can access a different part of your brain and new parts of your brain. You know, there was a great study on Albert Einstein where they did an autopsy on his brain and they were convinced that it was going to be bigger than everyone else's, bigger than the average brain because of his intelligence. What they found was that actually it was the same size as everybody's brain. There was no difference. What was different was the thickness and the density of the wiring between the two halves of his brain. There are two hemispheres to our brains, the left and the right. And there's a central piece that connects all of those, which is the wiring. And so these neurons fire together. And if you're not using them and you're not tapping into the right part of your brain and the right side of your brain, which is about our emotions and tapping into our heart, which also has neurons in it, believe it or not. So they're connected with all of these different gray cells are all over our body, actually. But if we're not using them and making those connections, they simply atrophy and they waste away. So it's important to be able to tap into the whole approach of how do we access more parts of our brain and the whole brain, not just one area of the brain, which is focused on decision making under pressure, under stress, and maybe making the wrong choices. It's about accessing the different parts of the brain that give us the new wisdom, give us the new insight, give us the intuition that tap into the infinite intelligence that exists.
And I think it's worthwhile just noting that this is something that we as individuals should do on an ongoing basis. But to get started, just to start making sure that we're activating the right sides of our brain or having that balance in terms of the sides of the brain that we're using and understanding our saboteurs and getting that command in terms of what it is that we're thinking and how to intercept that. We're saying 6 weeks. You know, getting started and getting into this, getting immersed into this and seeing a difference, seeing results, actually experiencing benefits in just 6 weeks. And I think that's phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. And, you know, it's about habit forming and with any new habit that you're creating, it's about how do I make sure that not only does it become a habit, but then how do I sustain that and maintain that? And so learning these techniques, it becomes self-fulfilling because you want to be able to do it, and it becomes beneficial to you to the extent where you become it, that the habit becomes obvious to you because it's giving you such great results. So you know, people don't necessarily have to struggle with it after the 6 weeks because it's just natural to want to do this, to solve problems and to, you know, deal with everyday life stress and to deal with conflict and to deal with, you know, problems that you're experiencing. And the mental fitness helps you to have that agility, that mental flexibility, to use that self-command, to have more self-awareness and to be able to tap into those sage powers that are perfect for problem solving and for any situation that you'll experience in business.
Thank you, Damien. I feel like as if when you know, I've experienced this program and I've been involved in it with you as a coach, and I see it as truly immersive. As you say, it's a 6-week sort of foundation, and then you are experiencing it, you are living it, you are breathing it. It becomes just part of how you think. And I see that as being a tremendous benefit to leaders, not just because of the pandemic and post-pandemic, but most definitely in terms of the way that we want to really enjoy our work, we want to really contribute, and we need to ensure that we are bringing a fresh perspective to our ideas and to the way that we work with our teams. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
I could carry on talking about this for ages.
But likewise.
I really appreciate you sharing your wisdom and helping us understand a little bit more about what mental fitness can offer us. So thank you for your time.
You're welcome, Kate. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Newland Rock Leadership Effectiveness Podcast with me, your host, Kate Thomas. If you would like more information on how I can help you or your organization maximize your talent and leadership effectiveness strategies, then reach out to me through my website, newlandrock.com.